Where's the preaching at of sanctification in our day? Where's that at? It's all in the Bible. Where's the preacher at that preaches Romans 12, 1 and 2? You do know what that says, don't you? Huh? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What? Bodies? You mean to tell me that my salvation has some influence on my body? On my body? You mean to tell me that's right? What about when Paul said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do it. You do it. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you something tonight. When's the last time you heard someone in one of the local churches that makes up this camp, somebody stand up and testify about something that God has dealt with them about, and they're quitting it or they're getting rid of it? When I got saved, Brother Robert, it was a common thing. That 7-week revival, there's people giving up things, quitting things, amen, stopping things, starting things. Amen. Where's that working of the Holy Ghost at? My friend, that gets in your, when he gets in your life, he comes in, takes up residence the moment you get saved. What is his business? To conform you to the image of God's dear Son. He's going to start working on you, dealing with everything in your life that is not Christ-like. Where is the people, my friend, that's being dealt with about un-Christ-like things in their life? Very seldom ever hear it. Very seldom ever hear it. You know why? We've raised a generation, Brother Joey. We raised a generation now that believes they can get right or get saved and go to heaven and don't never have to change. Show me that in the Bible, friend. I don't care what Smiley says on television. Show me that in the Bible. Are you listening to the preacher? I want to say it loud and clear. This expression is to be exhibited. People need to see what they're hearing. Because after all, when you're talking to them about salvation and you're trying to get them saved, you know what really is on their mind? Okay. What is what you're telling me? What's it done for you? Amen. We had a lady come to our church. Well, it's been a few years back, and a fellow that works with her was one of my teachers at that time. And I went and paid them a visit. You know, they come visit their church, so I went and seen them. And this man that works with her said, "Preacher, what did she say?" I said, "Well, she said she's saved." He said, "Preacher, I've been working around her for 20 years." He said, "I have never seen nor heard anything that indicated in the slightest that she was saved." Everybody read my lips. If you can hide it, you don't have it. If you've got it hid and your friends don't even know you've got it, my friend, I want to tell you, salvation's a lot bigger than you are, and you can't fold it up and stuff it in a corner of your life. I want to tell you, if you've got it, it's going to break out on you. It's going to break out on you. Others are going to know that you've been born again. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Amen. That's right, ain't it? God help us. By the way, Jesus Christ wasn't a secret. He didn't walk around in secrecy and die in a corner, die in a closet. No, friend. And when He saves you, He intends on you being a very vocal and a very visible Christian. Amen. It's not only that, but number three, it's an excited expression. Do you know excitement is contagious? Can I give you an exhibit of some average testimony that you might hear in church? Well, preacher, I just want to stand and thank the Lord for saving me. Yeah, everybody's wanting that. Yeah, they're lined up. They're taking tickets. They're wanting what you got. No, they're scared to death that what you've got is contagious. Now, you know I'm telling it right, friend. There's very few sinners wanting what they're seeing. In fact, a lot of sinners already think they've got what you've got. You know why they think that? Because they're talking your talk. They're walking your walk. They listen to the same trashy music you listen to. They go to the same trashy places you go to. They dress the same way you do. Amen. Where there is no difference, there is no difference. Amen. Amen. Excited expression. Telling it with excitement. Brother Ivan Armstrong got saved in a deer stand. I've never doubted his salvation. A lot of good things happen in a deer stand. Say amen right there. Anybody feel anything on that? Amen. Oh, Brother Ivan, been an old drunk all his life. I mean a party hound, just a drunk. Amen. And old Brother Ivan got saved in a deer stand. God hemmed him up in a deer stand. You can't run when you're in a deer stand. You better be ready to go to heaven if you run in a deer stand. Amen. I'm talking about 30 feet in the air. He got saved. And anyway, make a long story short, the Lord worked it out for him to start coming to our church. That's an exciting story in itself. But Brother Ivan, he's very vocal. He testifies almost every service. Very, very excited, very joyful. I mean, just, you know when he's around. He don't know nothing about whispering. He's worked in a loud factory, and I will tell you, he can't hear it thunder. And I mean, he may think he's talking like this, but he's talking like this. I mean, he stands up and testifies and weeps and cries how that God saved him from being an old drunk and where he used to be and where he is now. And I mean, just excited. And he asked me a question one night when he first started coming. He said, preacher, can I ask you a question? And he wasn't being critical. He's being inquisitive. He was trying to find out. He said, preacher, why is it that there's only just a few people in here that testifies? Brother Kerrigan, he said, I want to know. He said, preacher, why is it that here I am, been saved just a short period of time, and I'm just wanting to tell it and 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 tell it. And here's people in the church, preachers, been saved longer than I am old, and they never seem to want to tell. And he asked me this question. He said, preacher, is that what I've got to look forward to? He was asking a serious question. He said, preacher, is all of the excitement on the front end? Is all of the excitement on the front end of being saved? And the further you go, the worse it is, and the more dry it is, the more dull it is, and the more quiet you get, and the more you wish you hadn't have got saved. Come on now. Why would you think sinners would want what you've got when you act like you wish you didn't have it? If you act like it's killing you, they're not going to want it. Brother Ivan said, preacher, is that what I've got to look forward to? Now, I want to tell you, dear friend, according to that Bible, and I don't have time to preach it tonight, but I promise you that's not the will of God. The small end. Now you think about how glorious salvation is. How inexpressible and incomprehensible that salvation is. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. But that's just the little end. The getting in and the getting on part is the little end. The big end is way out through yonder somewhere. It's not supposed to be exciting the first day you get saved and then dull thereafter and dry thereafter and quiet thereafter. I know people, and I've got some in my church, ladies and gentlemen, are probably going to hear this message. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, the only time I ever heard anything out of their mouth about salvation was the time that they professed it first to be saved. I've never heard anything else since, ever. If the only time you tell it was that first day, I'd check up. Amen. By the way, let me tell you this quickly before you quit on me. It's an everybody expression. Let the redeemed of the Lord, that includes all of us. Preachers, that includes all of us. If you've been saved 5 minutes or if you've been saved 99 years, it don't make a bit of difference. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's an everybody expression. Now I want you to get this one. I want you to get this one. Everybody listening? It's an endless expression. It's an endless expression. What do you mean, endless? Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Now you remember I told you redeemed was meant a completed action. Say so is in the imperfect mood, which speaks of a process or condition which is incomplete. If you tell it and tell it and tell it some more and tell it again and tell it more and tell it again and tell it some more and tell it again and tell it again and again and again, you'll never get it told. How can you tell it all one time when God says you'll never tell it? God says you can never tell it. Amen? Say so, salvation. Amen. By the way, in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, the word believe is used. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Also, the word confess is used. And confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen? Did you know that word believe and that word confess? It means to believe and keep on believing and confess and keep on confessing. That's what it means. Amen? Look right here real quickly. Look at verse number 3 in our text. And gather them, who? The redeemed. And gather them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. Let me give you a verse in Revelations, can I? A heavenly scene, chapter number 5. And the Bible said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast what? Redeemed us. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm talking about an endless say so. Endless. Amen. See, our salvation's not just eternal. Telling it is eternal. Saying so is eternal. Look at this right here. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. How many is that? Verse number 11. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Are you listening? What are they saying? Verse 12, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. Our text verse said, or verse 3 said, and he gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. That crowd that's redeemed in heaven's going to be shouting the victory. Going to be saying, worthy is the Lamb, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. Guess where he got them? He got them out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. You didn't get that, did you? We're not just going to be telling it here. We're going to be telling it there. God is going to want you to tell it in heaven, and I promise you, if he wants it told in heaven, he wants it told on earth. Amen, that's right. He wants it told on earth, amen. That's exactly right. Listen to this. Well, I like that myself. I don't know if you do, but I like that. We're going to be telling it in heaven. Did you know? I know that you're going to be surprised about this. But you're not going to be talking about in heaven. You're not going to be talking about anything that you owned here. You're not going to talk about your possessions here. You're not going to be talking about any pleasures here. Amen. People in heaven are not talking about things on earth. I think that's good, myself. Amen. People in heaven are not talking about things on earth. Amen. Did you know there's not one person in heaven envious of anybody on earth? Right. Did you know there's not one person in heaven that looks at any movie star or billionaire, millionaire, and says, you know what? I'm jealous of you. Oh, brother, listen. Most of what we spend our time talking about will end at the grave. Most of what excites people in church will stay here when Jesus comes. Did you get that? Most of what people in church are excited about will not be in heaven. What are you going to do when you get to heaven and all of your excitement is still here? What are you going to do with that? You're not excited much about Jesus now. You better be, because that's all we're going to be excited about in heaven. Brother, I know y'all, listen, I know y'all are great students of the book, and I'm serious about that. Preach, you, I stand to be corrected now, honestly, if I'm wrong on this. I'm serious now. I want to be corrected if I'm wrong on this. In that Bible, when I die, when God's people dies, or when Jesus comes, two things is going to happen. My body's going to change. We'll get a new body. Can we get a witness right there? Amen. We're going to get a new body. And the second thing, Brother Kerrigan, that's going to change is our location. Hello? Our location's going to change from here, we that are saved, from here to heaven. Our body is going to change from an earthly to an eternal body. But I have never found in the Scripture, this is where I'm asking, I stand to be corrected if it's there. But I don't believe it's there. I've not found a verse that says my condition is going to change. How many people sitting under this tabernacle tonight? You've got in your mind, somehow or another, you've got a preconceived idea that you can treat your spirituality like a tinker toy. Amen. Play around with it once or twice a week. Amen. And then when you die and go to heaven, voila! Get out of my way. I'm going to run over you. Show me that in the Bible. Show me where people that are not excited about Jesus now will go to heaven and be kicking up their heels and hollering and screaming and shouting the victory over there. Show it to me. It's not in there. Brother Phillips, it's not in there. Now let me give you an awesome thought to think about in light of that right there, if it's so. And I believe it is. Can you imagine being inside the pearly gates, inside of the celestial, inside the heavenly, and cannot get in on it? Because you're not in on it now. You're not excited about it now. Jesus is not big to you now. Can you imagine that, Brother Kerrigan, being inside heaven and just watching, saying, oh my soul, I wished I'd have given it 100%. I wished I'd have lived for God. I wished I'd have surrendered my life to God. I wished I'd have took church and the Bible and the things of God more seriously. Oh my soul, can you imagine being in heaven and not being able to get in on it? I know some of you, I can read countenances. You don't believe what I just told you. Study it out for yourself. Study it out for yourself. Your body's going to change. Your location's going to change. But show me where your condition's going to change. Yeah, it's very quiet in here. We're very quiet in here. Most people that go to church, listen, folk, I've been preaching, now I'm not a veteran, but I've been preaching just over 32 years. Actually, I'm closer to 33 years than 32 years. February 2nd will be 33 years. And I'm telling you, most of the people that go to church never get excited about spiritual things. They're more excited about a car and a house and a job and a promotion and a raise. They're more excited about the Clemson Tigers and the Gamecocks. They're more excited about, they're more excited about football and killing a big buck and catching a big fish. They're more excited, come on young people, more excited about boyfriends, more excited about girlfriends than you are about Jesus Christ. I've seen girls be excited about the Lord till romance come in the picture. I've seen boys excited about God, wanting the will of God done, wanting to serve God till romance come in the picture. I want to tell you, and you hear me well, young lady, hear me well, young man, if a boy or a girl comes in your life and your spiritual life plummets, your spiritual life falls off a cliff, I promise you God did not send that person in your life. That boy, that girl is an agent of hell being sent into your life. Had a girl in my church. It's rough. I'm telling you, it's rough. Some of you are going to say, I can't believe it. A girl in my church asked me Sunday night. First, I didn't know about it. Said, preacher, I'm marrying so-and-so in September. Will you do it? I never even took a second breath. I said, no. 20 years, and her mom was standing right beside her. I said, no, I'm not marrying you to that boy. Hey, man. I'm not marrying you to that boy. I said, you don't even sing in the choir no more. Sitting a bat. Hey man, never excited about nothing spiritual. That boy comes in your life and you backslide. You think God put him in your life? Negative. I tell you what, young people, let me preach to you just a second. You better be trying to find you a mate that will encourage your spiritual life. You need to try to find somebody that loves God more than you do. You go ahead, live your carnal life, live your worldly life. Somebody will fall in love with you, they'll fall in love with that worldly life, they'll like you as a worldly person. But one of these days you may want to serve God. One of these days you may want to get serious about God. And then that lady or that boy is going to look at you and say, I don't like what I see. You're not the one I married and I'm out of here. Best thing you can do, young people, is get full of God. And I told her Sunday, I said, I'll tell you what you do. Get absolutely as full of God as you can get. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Love God consistently. Live for God and see if He hangs around. That's exactly right. Amen. When it comes to pastoring, buddy, you mess with my young people, you mess with me. And when I deal with them, the mom and dad says, amen. Amen. I'm not going to marry them when I'm pretty convinced that it's not of God. Had a man, I don't know why I'm on this. Lord help us. I'm talking about a say-so salvation. A young boy asked me not long ago, he said, preacher, how will I know if this girl is the will of God or not? That quick, Lord, give me this statement. I said, is she complimenting your faith or is she complicating your faith? He hung his head. He said, she's complicating my faith. I said, well, you got your answer. When you try to hang on to that one that God's wanting out of your life, you're asking for trouble. And I'm going to tell you, friend, when you keep on embracing and holding on to what God has made real clear needs to be gone out of your life, I'm going to tell you, God will say one day, all right, go ahead, you can have it. There's a young lady, I guarantee there's a young lady or more than one, that young boy or more than one in here that God sent that last few minutes to. You better perk up. You may want to serve God one day. You may want to get serious and raise your family for Jesus, and then you've got somebody that you've married, how the will of God, they fell in love with your carnal life. They fell in love with your fleshly life. They fell in love with your earthly life. Amen. Amen. Not your righteousness, not your Jesus-loving life. And now all of a sudden you're wanting to go to church and live for God. What? There'll be a thorn in your flesh. That's good preaching, Preacher Rackley. Amen. It's an endless expression. Everything, listen, we're going to be talking about it in heaven. We're going to be shouting about it in heaven. We're going to be singing about it in heaven. I'm going to close with this. Look at it here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It is not only a say-so salvation is one of experience. And some of you, really, I hope you hadn't forgot what we preached through there. You need to really look at your life and see if there was an experience. And if there was an experience, there still is an experience. It also involves an expression. But thirdly, it involves an escape. Whom he hath redeemed from, or out of, from the hand of the enemy. I like that. It involves an escape. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And think about this. For someone or something to redeem you from the hand of the enemy. And when you reference hand in the Bible, it speaks of authority, control, strength, and power. Instrument of work. An instrument of control. When something or someone redeems from the hand of the enemy, that means whoever redeemed you is stronger and bigger than the hand and power and grip of the enemy. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus didn't come and say, can I? I'm glad he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. I'm glad the devil doesn't have his hand on me no more. Amen. Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. He'll set you free, amen. He delivers you from the hand of the enemy. He defeats the enemy tonight. Let me give you this and I'm done. He delivered me from the dominion of the enemy. He delivered me from the directions of the enemy. He delivered me from the defilement of the enemy. He delivered me from the desires of the enemy. He delivered me, thank God, from the destiny of the enemy. I am not going to hell. I am not going to hell. Why? Because I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. His hand is not on me. He's not controlling me. The devil is not my Lord. He is not my master. He is not charting my course. I am not going to share hell with him. Thank God I'm going to heaven tonight. I'm saved. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God tonight. I'm saved tonight. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name tonight. Bless his holy name tonight. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need a revival of say so salvation. If you're saved, you need to say so. You need to say so at church. You need to say so at the house. You need to say so at the school. You need to say so in America. Our nation needs to hear God's people saying so. The Sodomites are saying so about their deal. The politicians are saying so about their deal. But what are God's people doing? Zipping her clothes and going into the closet and hoping nobody notices. Folk, I'm going to tell you, we're on the last leg of the journey. This thing's about over. Amen. Amen. Somebody needs to hear you tell it. Amen. Because they may be wanting, listen, you're around people probably all the time that's thinking in their mind, man, there must be something better to life. Surely there's something better to life than this daily life of sin, all these drugs and drinking and alcohol. Surely there's something better to life. That's where you step in and say, let me tell you, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank God I am saved by the grace of God. Have you had the experience? I say so salvation. Have you had the experience? Can you give details? If not, friend, I'd be doing business about that. The expression. Are you telling it? Some of you need to get in the altar and say, God, forgive me for being so quiet. Forgive me, Lord, for talking about everything under the sun except Jesus. Forgive me for being more excited about material things, financial things, physical things, earthly things, social things, rather than spiritual things. Lord, forgive me. From here on out, I want to be visible as a Christian, and I want to be verbal as a Christian. The experience and the expression. When's the last time you got excited about the escape? When's the last time you said, thank God I'm not going to hell? Hallelujah. I'm not going to hell. I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take the message, dear God, and our feeble effort to preach it. Use it, God, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe tonight with all that's within me, I believe you spoke to me. Lord, I believe you spoke clearly to me today. Lord, there are some people in this building tonight that needs to be born again. There's some folk in this building tonight. They may be clinging to a simple, flimsy profession that did not change their life, did not give them a heart for God, did not cause their attitude to change towards sin. Lord, show them tonight that they need to be born again. I believe tonight with all that's within me, out of this congregation, there are people here tonight lost without God. I believe tonight there are people here tonight that have been way too quiet about being saved. They've not witnessed. They've not told anybody. They've not testified about it. Lord, we need a revival of say-so salvation. Folk saying so about salvation. Lord, may these altars fill up with people that'll say, God, please help me. Oh, God, I want to be more excited about the eternal than I am the earthly. I want to be excited, Lord, about the heavenly. Oh, Lord, more so than I am what I have in this life. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me tonight, Lord. Help me tonight. Save those that are lost in the surf. Lord, I don't know who's lost here tonight. I don't know how many's lost here tonight, but you do. God, show them tonight that they may be just like I was. Their head had some religious knowledge, but their heart was empty of God. Have your way, Lord. Help some young people to receive. Yes. Lord, that message that you sent inside the message, that little insert, Lord, you sent to young people. There's somebody here tonight that's in trouble that needs to do business with God tonight about this thing of romance and about this thing of courtship and dating and all of those sorts of things. Lord, there's some people here tonight. They're not excited about the Lord because all of their friends that they hang around with and run with, they're not excited about the Lord. God, I pray you just do a work tonight. Whatever needs to be done, speak to hearts in Jesus' name.